We pray that our hearts and our ears will be open to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. We want to hear from heaven, Lord. We want to hear from heaven, Father. God, we pray against any distraction. Lord, we pray for the divine order of heaven in this place. Please agree with me right now. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, I pray in these next 30 or 40 minutes, Lord, we will hear a word from heaven. Strengthen us by your word, Lord. Help us to have hearts to obey you, Father. Help me, Lord. Anoint me for your service, Lord. I humbly ask for your anointing, Lord. We agree together that God is speaking, that God will speak, and we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. The Lord is pleased when he sees his people. We're a bunch of imperfect people that God loves so much. He loves you with your flaws. He loves you even in your imperfection. I am a testament. I am a witness. God doesn't give up on you. He's here today. He wants to change your life. If you will trust him, if you'll take one more step, if you will pray one more prayer, if you will hope one more time, if you'll get up off your knees and step forward one more time, God's going to do something amazing for you. Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and neither has entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. God is much better to us than we deserve. It's called amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If God can save me, he can save anybody. Hallelujah. I just feel his love for the people today. I feel God's love, and I have to let this just come forth right now. He loves you. My children, my dear, dear people, I love you, God is saying. I love you more than you could even imagine. I don't love you because of your performance. I love you because I created you for myself. I love you because I want you in my family. I love you because I have a good plan and a good purpose. And God says to his people, I will never, ever leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't know who you are today, but you need to hear this. Be encouraged. Turn to your neighbor and say, be encouraged. I want to talk about the year 2017 in review. You know, they have on television, all the news stations, 2017 in review, recapping the events of the previous year. And they'll tell you all about Hollywood, and they'll tell you about politics, and they'll tell you about the economy and all these things. But I want to do the year of review of 2017 to recount all that God's been doing in us. Because after all, the kingdom of God, it will endure forever. All the nations of the world will be transformed. And those people who follow Christ will be in the heavenly kingdom that has no end. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But that which cannot be shaken will endure. And that is the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but everyone who claims Jesus as their Lord and Savior, whether you realize it or not, you are enrolled in one of the greatest training experiences that has ever been foreseen in mankind. You are in the Master's Academy. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, you are in the Master's Academy. And God is training you for reigning. Hallelujah. He's training you because he wants you to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that those of us who persevere will join him in ruling the nations. We will rule and reign with Christ. We're all going to have a part in his heavenly kingdom. Amen. So again, whether you think of it this way or not, this has been happening in 2018. God has had you in school. And it's a training experience. The purpose of God's school, the Master's Academy, is to go from spiritual infancy to becoming a mature disciple of Christ, to becoming someone who looks just like Jesus. How many of you can say, God's been working on me? How many of you understand that God's been training you? It's not that he's against you. God is not against you. God is for you. It's not that God is punishing you. God is training you. God is taking you from what you were to make you what you ought to be. He's making this church what he sees. The church that we're becoming is what God's preferred future is for Catalyst Community Church. God has an idealized future for you, a vision for your life. And I tell you something about God. He will work with you. He will not give up on you. He'll give you a little pow-pow if you need it. Come on now, all you Puerto Rican people, come on. You know what pow-pow is. Because what father, what mother doesn't want their best for the child? You had children who are growing up, some of you are grandparents already. We even have a few great-grandparents in here. But every one of us who are parents, who love our children, we want to see the best for them. We want them to grow up to become all that they can be. Don't you think our Heavenly Father feels that way about us? Whether you're 8 years old or 88 years old, God's still working on me. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:8. Let's look at the scripture, 1 Timothy 4:8 in the Amplified Version. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds the promise for this present life and for the life to come. So if God is training you spiritually, you are going to reach your highest potential in this life. And then in the life to come, in the kingdom of God, you are going to rule and reign with Christ. You have a win-win situation. Hallelujah. You get to be the best you can be in this life, and then you get rewarded in the next life in heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verses 7 and 12. Hebrews 12. As you endure this divine discipline or this divine training, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? And then verse 11, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Training is hard. We got some soldiers in here. We got some ex-Marines and ex-Army and I don't know who else, maybe ex-Navy, right? Basic training, is it fun? Is it easy? No. But is it worth it? Hallelujah. Make a man out of you. Make a woman out of you. Amen? So no training is, discipline is easy. But afterward, everybody say afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living. Now watch this, for those who are trained in this way. If you don't let God train you, you're really not going to be his child. Every father is going to train, every good father will train and protect and care for their child. Our Heavenly Father is a good Father. Amen? And he's going to want you to grow up a certain way for your benefit. You may not see it all now, just like a parent who tells their child, no, you can't run out. Don't open the door and run out in the street because you can get hurt out there. But why, Mommy? Why, Daddy? You don't understand right now, but later on you will understand. How many of you are glad that God didn't answer every one of your prayers growing up? Oh, Lord, that guy is a dreamboat. If I could just marry this person, I'd be in heaven. But that dreamboat turned out to be a shipwreck. Come on now, somebody say amen. Aren't you glad God didn't answer that prayer? Hallelujah. Don't get me started. Here's some of the training courses we've been taking this past year. Raise your hand if you identify some of the courses we've been taking. 101, 201, 301, 401. The first course, When Things Don't Go the Way We Expect. How many of you have been in that course this year? This is a good one. A course in Wrestling with Our Flesh. This is a great course. Dealing with Difficult People. This is one of everyone's favorite, controlling your tongue. Did you take this course? I wonder if you got up to this one, developing a healthy thought life. How about the course on overcoming discouragement and self-pity? How about that advanced course, loving God even when I'm struggling with my health? That's for the mature. That's the advanced. Here's another advanced course, facing persecution for your faith. When you're doing everything right and your boss still doesn't like you. When you're trying to be the best Christian you can be and not all your prayers are answered yet. But the most important course we've all been taking this year, are you ready? Following the vision of God for your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I've been following the vision of God for my life. And guess what? God's not through with me yet. How many of you need to look back over this year and remind yourself, He is working all things for my good. In all things, He's working for the good of those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everybody say purpose. I want to encourage the church today with four phrases I believe the Holy Spirit has been highlighting in my life, in many people that I know, and many people in this church. And I'm sure you'll be able to relate to these four phrases that I believe typify what we've been through in 2017, the year in review. This is a lesson that we've all, these four phrases, I believe, seem to encapsulate the four main lessons, at least for us, many of us, have been experiencing. Number one, are you ready for this? You may want to write these down. Hold steady, I'm working something good. First phrase, I've been hearing this over. How many of you have been hearing this in your life?
Yes.
Hold us steady because I'm working something good. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things that He planned for us to do long ago. I feel like God's reminding the church, reminding all of us, hold still, hold steady. I'm working something good. Matter of fact, we had an elderly pastor who used to speak into our lives back in New York, Dr. Benjamin Crandall, who started the church there in Brooklyn originally, and then it moved to Staten Island, the International Christian Center. He used to tell us when we were picking him up in New York City in his 80s, he was like 82 or 88 years old, he was still working with Brother David Wilkerson at the Times Square Church. And he would talk to us in the back seat, David, Angela, hold steady. You're going through some tough times. The church was going through some division and some trouble. And he would advise us, hold steady. God's going to do something good. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold steady. God's going to do something good. Hallelujah. But in order to hold steady, sometimes you have to be willing to do things you haven't done before. Sometimes you got to stretch and keep growing. No matter how many years you've been walking with Christ, guess what? You're still a student. When it comes to God, we're all kids. Hallelujah. We're His kids. There are new lessons to learn, so don't ever stop learning. We are always going to be a student. There's greater wisdom to gain. There's greater maturity. There are lessons to be learned. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Isaiah 50, verse 4. I want you to listen to this carefully. Isaiah says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I might know how to sustain the one who is weary with a word. Now look at the rest of the verse. He awakens my ear morning by morning to listen. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. I want you to notice the connection between listening and speaking. A lot of us would like to have a word to those who are weary. I love to give words of encouragement to people. But you're only going to be able to give a word of wisdom to the weary if you listen morning by morning as a student, as one who is taught. If you're not being taught, you won't have anything to give. You can't pass on what you don't have. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're always going to be students when it comes to God. So hold steady. God is working something good. Don't skip class. Don't cut class. Amen. Don't be messing around talking to your friends while God is teaching. Amen. Don't try to run off when God is working. Even if God is pruning you, everybody say ouch. Remember the words of Jesus. The Father prunes every branch in me that bears fruit so that it can bear even more fruit.
Amen.
I feel myself personally like I've been pruned in 2017. It has been an extremely challenging year for the Munuzzi family and a lot of other people as well. But I can tell you with all conviction and sincerity in my heart that I do not doubt that God is doing something good. God is working something good. It's so hard because we see from a limited perspective, but God sees the greater purposes He is working in our lives. So hold on, church. Hold on. God is saying, I'm working something good. Number two, God values endurance more than gold. God values faith and endurance more than gold. Second phrase that I feel like has been a year-long lesson. Not just a day, not just a week, not just a month, but a lesson that I've been hearing again and again the whole year. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 to 7. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive His salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. So be glad. Be glad in what? Be glad even if you're going through trouble. You have to read what come before. If your faith is being tested, if your faith is being tried, Peter is saying, be truly glad because there is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, verse 7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Watch this. Though your faith is far more precious than real gold. God values endurance and faith more than gold. So that's something He's developing in us. Amen. And He's not going to put you in the fourth grade if you didn't graduate the third grade. I'm not even going to ask if anybody had been held back in school because that was such a terrible thing to happen. But in God's school, He's very patient with us. He'll keep working. God values faith and endurance. My wife and I saw a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we saw a movie called Mully. How many of you heard of the movie called Mully? It's about a man in Africa by the name of Charles Mully. He was, it's a tremendous story, and you should see the movie. Just rent it. It's a tremendous inspirational story. As a youngster in Kenya, growing up in Kenya, he was abandoned by his family. They had no means to support him, so they just left him in this little hut. He survived by begging in the streets. He was about 6 or 8 years old. And as he grew up in his little village, he hung out with other street kids who were orphans. And he stole food or did whatever he had to do to survive. And then finally one day, he said to himself, my life has got to change. There's got to be more to life than this. And he looked up to heaven, and he had gone to a church service, and there was a preacher that said to him, said to the whole church, he said, God has more for you. God has more for you. If you just believe and if you just have faith, God will give you a different kind of life. And so he got up. He walked 50 miles from his village to Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, Nairobi. There in Nairobi, there was a woman who had mercy on him and opened her home and allowed him to work the farm that they had. She and her husband were very successful and had a large farm. And he did so well on the farm that eventually he became a supervisor over 200 or 300 workers. And little by little he began to start businesses and God prospered him. And he was becoming more and more wealthy over the years. And he actually became a multimillionaire. And as he was a multimillionaire, he was just getting stronger and stronger and richer and richer. And then one day he saw some street children. And it reminded him of his own life. and how he started and where he was, where he came from. And he felt so convicted that he drove off in his car. I don't want to tell you the whole story of the movie. It'll take a long time. But God gave him a vision to start adopting these street kids. And one by one, he started bringing them home. And his wife started to go a little bit crazy because he was like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. And after a while, his entire home, and he was a wealthy man, he had a big house, the whole house was filled with orphans. And then they had to add on a new wing to the house. And then eventually they built like a farm that the orphan children would work the farm and milk the cows and all this and help, you know, sustain, like a sustainable farm. But the problem was, and go to school and all of that, the problem was there was no water. How many of you know in dry climates, water is very important? So he hired a commercial company to drill a well. And he paid them a lot of money. They tried 3 different times to drill a well. And all 3 times they came up dry. They came up at no water. After they left, he prayed and prayed and prayed. And God spoke to him in a vision. He said, right there, that spot, that's where the water is. And how many of you know that takes bold faith? That takes bold faith. And so he told some of his workers and some of the children, start digging there. They dug for days and days. Nothing. They finally hit a gigantic rock. And they said, you know, Dr. Murray, that's it. You know, it's time to give up. And he said, no. He said, God showed me. That's where the water is. He says, move the rock out of the way. And after they moved the rock out of the way, a tremendous gush of water came up. Hallelujah. And God provided water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, God values endurance and faith. What if he said, all right, that's it, quit. It just didn't work. You know, I made a mistake. But what a lesson those children learned about a man of faith. Hallelujah. Since, 1989, Charles and Esther Mulley, this is all documented, look it up in Wikipedia or rent the movie, have taken in more than 23,000 abandoned children. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. One man who believed. One man who endured. One man who said, I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. Changed the lives. Now think about their children and their children's children. How many families, how many thousands and thousands of people's lives have been changed because of this man's faith? God values faith and endurance more than gold. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you may have come up dry before. You may have been digging and hitting rocks. You may feel like nothing good is happening. This is just bad luck. But I'm telling you, with God, there is no bad luck. Hallelujah. There's a plan and a purpose. And God is always working a greater purpose than you can imagine. Hallelujah. And when that rock is finally moved, there's going to be a gusher of living water springing up in your life. Hallelujah. And God is saying to his church, get your shovel out and dig one more time. Get down there and move that rock and stop being wimpy and don't give up because God hasn't given up on you. Hallelujah. Your faith will be rewarded. Turn to your neighbor and say, your faith will be rewarded. Number 3, trust God's goodness and rest in his love. Let me give these to you again. Number 1, hold steady. God is working something good. Number 2, God values endurance more than faith and endurance more than gold. Number 3, trust God's goodness, rest in his love. Life is hard. God is good. Let me say it again. Life is hard, but God is good. We had some huge tests of our faith. Some of you have been with us in our trials this year. Tribulations that we went through in our family, situations with our children, our grandchildren. Some very difficult trials. But God is going out of his way to tell us, be encouraged. The answer's on its way. Yeah. He who began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up. Get your shovel out. Keep digging. You will receive a harvest. You, all of you are going to receive a harvest. Hallelujah. As you continue faithful. Faithful and obedient. Somebody get some encouragement in their heart today. You think God is limited by money? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God says, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask. Don't insult God by making him too small. Come on now, church. Some of us have made him too small. Do you think God is limited by our puny faith? Trust his goodness. Rest in his love. Psalmist David, he's anointed to be king of Israel. How would you like to be proclaimed the next president of the United States? And all of a sudden, everybody's out to kill you. You might say like that man who was run out of town, you know, who thought he was going to be the mayor. Instead, they all beat him up and they ran him out of town. And he said, if it wasn't for this great honor, I would have just as soon left another way. You'll get that later on. I mean, God, this is supposed to be, I'm supposed to be the king. And for 7 years, after being, there was another man that was sitting on the throne of Israel. Even though Samuel said, you're the king. God, did you make a mistake? Did you make a mistake, God? No! God doesn't make any mistakes. Hallelujah! He loves you with an everlasting love. Romans 8, 31 and 32, and then verses 35 and 37. What shall we say in response to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? I hope that faith rises up in your heart to take hold of this word. Hallelujah. The Lord says, let faith take hold of the word today. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Say it with me. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We have a warrior God who loves us. Like, a lot like David. No wonder the Bible says David was a man after God's heart. Because he was a warrior, but he was also like a little child. He would go out and kill some Philistines, and then come in and sit in the temple like a little baby. Oh God, I worship you. I'm your kid, Lord. And here's what he said. He said, I would have given up. I would have fainted. I would have given up. Unless I had believed, Psalm 27:13, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Trust God's goodness. Rest in his love. In spite of all he went through, David trusted the goodness of God for his future. As some of you have been through some stuff. Don't raise your hand, but you know who you are. Some of you have seen some horrendous trial. Brother Lonnie, can we get some air moving in here? Just a little circulation. I feel like the Lord's quickening this right now. Somebody walked out of your family. Who am I speaking to today? Somebody walked out who you were counting on. They let you down. But God says, though the earth be removed, though the stars and the sun be moved, my love for you shall never, never be moved. Hallelujah. My love for you shall endure, God says. Through every trial, through every test, God says, trust my goodness. Rest in my love. How many of you want the last one? Number 4. Go forward in his great purposes. Go forward in his great purposes. Give them to you again. Hold on, hold steady. I'm working something good. Number 2, God values faith and endurance more than gold. Number 3, trust his goodness, rest in his love. Number 4, go forward in His great purposes. The Lord is saying to the church, pursue the dream, the vision that God has put in your life. Do what you know to do, and then what is next will be like a scroll that unfolds. Some of you are here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I feel like I'm stuck. I'm in a rut. I've come this far and I can't seem to go beyond a certain point. Or I go this high and then my head always hits the ceiling. But here's what the Lord, I believe, is saying. He's saying, pursue what you know to do. Love your spouse. Love your family. Serve God. Be faithful to church. Study the Word. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I guarantee you, when you have that kind of faithfulness in your life, God will make you a fruitful person. God will make sure that you know what comes next. You know why? Because He can trust you. God is looking for people He can trust. Somebody here needs to not just settle for the memories, the good old days, but they need to still dream dreams. Whether you're 15 or whether you're 95, God still has dreams. I will pour out my spirit in the last days, God said, Joel chapter 2. In the last days I will pour out my spirit. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. Old men will dream dreams. That guy qualified. Hallelujah. This is the final statement that we've been learning this past year. 2017 in review. Go forward. When you don't know what to do, go forward. When the enemy is throwing everything at you but the kitchen sink, go forward. When the devil's lying to you and tell you that your life hasn't amounted to anything and that all you have is regrets, you say that is a lie from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. When you think your life is over, it's all passed you by, God's saying, my giving has just begun. Hallelujah. Don't get stuck on why. Somebody here today is stuck on why, God, why? Instead, contemplate, what's the purpose? What? Not why, what? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is God's purpose for your life? What is God doing that will continue into 2018? Listen. God is looking for somebody who will embrace a great cause. When you see the story of Mully, Dr. Charles Mully, you see one man who found a great cause. Thousands of orphan children in Nairobi, street kids that are just abandoned or because of tragedy, because of the AIDS epidemic, other reasons, are left out on the streets. He's been able to help 28,000 of them. And now their families and their children and their grandchildren will have a different trajectory of their life. Hallelujah. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. You got to catch a glimpse, a new glimpse of the purpose of God.